All right, so I'll be talking about some heat shock protein expression during thermal stress in milkweed bugs. Just a brief introduction to their life history. Like they're in the family Ligeidae, the seed bugs, and they have 5 nymphal instars. If you rear them under long day conditions, that leads to non-diapause populations. So in these populations, they pretty much start reproducing about day 10 of adulthood at about 25, and will progress and the females lay about 2,000 eggs in their lifetime, and they'll live about 30 days under summer conditions. If you rear them under short day conditions, they have a unique migratory diapause. And this is kind of what drew us to studying these insects, is because this type of diapause is not really seen very often. Another example would be monarch butterflies. So it's an adult diapause that is characterized by a delayed onset of reproduction. And during this time, instead of just laying down and overwintering like a lot of insects in diapause, these will actually migrate long distances, sometimes over a couple thousand kilometers, to southern regions in search of food and suitable reproducing habitat. For example, some of the populations around the latitudes in Ohio will make it all the way down into Texas and northern Mexico during diapause. So for our strain at 25 degrees Celsius, if we rear them under long day conditions, 16 hours of daylight, 8 hours of darkness, the females will begin ovipositing at about 10 days. However, at the same temperature with only 12 hours of daylight, it's taken out to about 23 days. And this is a pretty shallow diapause because of the relatively high temperature. We're raising a colony now at 23. We don't have the data collected for that yet, but it's already past day 30 and the diapausers haven't started laying eggs yet. It also delayed the non-diapause a little bit because of the temperature difference, but you can get even more pronounced differences at higher temperatures. And what this looks like on a graph, the non-diapause are represented in blue, so these are 10 separate mating pairs of each. And as you see, non-diapause are pretty much all clustered around day 10 is when they first start ovipositing, whereas the diapause are a lot more spread out. You have one here at day 14, but then for the most part they're beyond day 20. And that's pretty typical. So during this time when they're delaying reproduction, they would be migrating to find suitable habitat for feeding and reproduction. Now, to shift gears a little bit, so the migratory diapause is what drew us to these, and because of that migration, what's likely going to happen is that the same genetic populations will be exposed to a number of different thermal stresses in their range. So the same breeding population can be present up in Canada, where it could be very cold at times during the fall, and then migrate down to Mexico, where it would be very hot later in the season. So we think that this could bring on some unique adaptations for thermal tolerance. And this study will be focusing on the non-diapause populations. In future work, we'll focus on some of these adaptations in diapausing individuals. So one feature that the non-diapausing individuals do exhibit is rapid cold hardening, where exposure to a low sublethal temperature for a brief period can significantly enhance cold tolerance. And this was previously reported in milkweed bugs by Lee et al. In 1987. This was the original paper that described rapid cold hardening. It was just kind of a little side note. They tried a few different species to show that rapid cold hardening occurred, but nothing since then has been looked at as far as rapid cold hardening in milkweed bugs. So to shift gears and talk about the genes we'll be focusing on here, we'll be focusing on heat shock proteins. These are highly conserved proteins that serve as molecular chaperones during periods of stress. And they're kind of incorrectly called heat shock proteins because they were discovered in response to heat. They're probably more correctly called stress proteins because a number of environmental stresses, including heat, cold, desiccation, anoxia, pretty much any stress, a physiological stress you can imagine, there's likely some study out there that shows that it increases HSP expression. And there are several families of these proteins that are named based on their molecular weight in kilodaltons, such as HSP90, HSP70, and the small heat shock proteins, which are around 20 kilodaltons. So the objectives of this study were to test the hypothesis that HSPs are involved in the thermal tolerance of Oncopeltis fasciatus. So to do so, we cloned 3 different heat shock proteins from the milkweed bug and looked at their expression during heat, cold, and rapid cold hardening. So a brief description of the methods. We expose the bugs to temperature stress in a programmable thermal bath. After exposure, we extracted RNA using triazole reagent. The RNA was converted to cDNA using the SuperScript 3 system. And using the cDNA, designing primers, we applied PCR to the cDNA to clone fragments of HSPs. And then after these sequences were confirmed, the primers were used in us using to measure gene expression. We used quantitative real-time PCR with the Bio-Rad IQ5 system. And to give you an idea of some of the thermal tolerance, just a baseline thermal tolerance graph of these critters, if we expose non-diapause to negative 10 degrees Celsius for 3 hours, we only have about 35% survival. The second group here would be the rapid cold hardening treatment, where we first hold them at 0 degrees Celsius for 2 hours, and then drop them down to minus 10 for 3 hours, and that puts you up at about 85% survival. So just that 2 hour period of cold hardening can significantly enhance cold tolerance. This is another interesting finding, which won't really be addressed here, it'll be addressed in a future study, is that the diapausing individuals have a higher intrinsic cold tolerance. So about 85% of them can survive minus 10 without even any prior any rapid cold hardening exposure, which was kind of an interesting finding considering that they're migrating south during the winter. And for heat shock tolerance, if we expose non-diapausing individuals to 40 degrees Celsius for 2 hours, they have about 90% survival. And 40 degrees is a pretty warm temperature for Ohio latitudes, so they're relatively high tolerance for heat shock. And these are the three treatments we'll be focusing on for the gene expression. As I mentioned before, the diapause series will be looked at later. So the first gene we looked at was HSP90, not too much to look at on this slide, just to show its alignment with some other insects. There's 97% amino acid identity with Bombyx mori and Culex pipiens. And we just have pretty short fragments to confirm the identity, and we'll get full length sequences at a later date. Looking at the expression, HSP90 actually wasn't very responsive to temperature in this insect. Really, pretty much across the board, there were no significant changes. We need to add more replicas to this to confirm some of these ones that are kind of iffy. So here it looks like there could be something going on when we hold them at zero for 2 hours, but it's not real clear. And I guess I should also explain, we added a couple treatments in addition to the ones we saw before. So in addition to the cold shock for 3 hours, we also added a 1 hour recovery period. And then also for the 0 degrees treatment, the rapid cold hardening treatment, we did it for both 2 and 8 hours. Because sometimes some of the differences you'll see in gene expression will either show up right at the beginning of rapid cold hardening or at a longer period. And then the heat shock group on the end here is 40 degrees Celsius for 2 hours. So not much going on with HSP90. HSP70, we actually obtained two fragments using two different primer sets. We don't really need to go into details, this is just to show the alignment again. And for the expression, a couple interesting changes occurring here. In the cold shock group, minus 10 degrees Celsius for 3 hours, there's a threefold increase in HSP70, which is actually somewhat surprising, because usually when we do see increased HSP expression, at least in the literature, after cold shock, it's usually during the recovery period, and we actually see a decrease in the signal during that 1 hour recovery. What we think might be going on is that this is a pretty significant cold shock for them, and they're probably just dying during this 1 hour or severely compromised, and that's why the signal is deteriorating. So we might try them again later at a more mild temperature to see if we see the same pattern. But this is the first time anyone's actually seen increase in HSP expression during the initial cold shock. Typically it's seen during recovery from cold shock. And there's also over twofold upregulation in heat shock after 2 hours, which is expected. HSP70 is pretty responsive to heat. And actually, that's a pretty modest increase in expression. Usually you'd expect to see a lot more than that, but as I showed before, they're relatively tolerant of 40 degrees Celsius, so we're not too surprised that there wasn't a big change going on there. And the last heat shock protein was a member of the small heat shock protein family. These ones aren't as highly conserved, but there was still a 74% identity with a couple other insects. Once again, we only have a short fragment. Once we get the full sequence, we'll be better able to align it with other species. And this one was the most responsive to heat, as it was almost up sixfold in response to heat, but not much else going on. couple of slight increases, a slight increase here at zero, but we'll need to do more replicates to confirm that because there's some high variation right now. So just to conclude, I don't need to read these for you, you guys can read them, but it appears that in a couple of situations we have some heat shock proteins are involved in some of the thermal stresses here. One of the main points is in general they're not really upregulated during rapid cold hardening, which is not surprising because there's typically other physiological changes going on during rapid cold hardening that aren't related to gene expression. And so with future objectives, we need to find a suitable housekeeping gene so that we can make better plate-by-plate comparisons and bring in more replicates for this, because it's hard to find a thermally stable control gene for qPCR. And we'd also like to extend this work in the diapause, as I mentioned before. And that's all, so if you guys have any questions. Yes? Go ahead.
Yeah. What are you using for your control gene?
She said, what are we using for the control gene? The data I showed was actually just the delta CT by looking at, and we're pretty confident that we have equal loading, and so we don't think it, so this isn't, so it's not ideal to use delta CT for, you know, it's better to have a control gene. So far we've tried our ribosomal protein L19 is a control gene, and actin, and both of those showed both high variability between individuals and high variability between treatments. So we haven't really settled on one yet. I've cloned out a couple others, GAPDH and a couple other ribosomal proteins that I'll be trying here to see if I can find, because it is better to do the delta-delta CT of quantitation if you can. And we ran standard curves on all these genes too to show that, you know, we have about 100% efficiency in all cases. So we're pretty confident in results as they are, but you're right, we do need to find a control gene and settle on that.
Another question?
Yes.
Part of this question basically is standard normalization and delta-delta analysis. So far we don't know, you didn't show this significant expressed or not. So I'm wondering why they are increased during heat and the cold stress and will be goes down far more than the wild type normal expression. What's the explanation about that?
Could you repeat that question, please?
Yeah. Basically, in your HSP 70, it was increased at the 2 hour and the 3 hour, and then it was reduced far more than the control.
Oh, you're talking about this group here?
Yeah. What's the reason?
Okay. I'm not really sure what's going on, but what I would guess is. So what this is showing is that the signal is produced right at the pretty much at the onset of 0 degrees, and what I would say maybe is that, you know, it's synthesized to the levels that it needs for protection, and it's not real clear if this is significant or not. We need to add more replicates, and the reason it might be going down after a while is because once it's synthesized, if the protein is pretty stable and staying around and it has enough of it, it might be switching to other, you know, expressing other genes. And in this case, this signal would go down because it's already been produced at the onset. And then the signal would be degrading because the RNAs aren't very stable in a lot of cases. So it looks like the signal is coming up pretty much instantaneously and is up during the first 2 hours, but then taking it out to 8 hours, it's going down probably due to degradation of the transcript.
Okay.
All right, thanks.
Thank you.